The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Oz Table Talk. My name is Luke. I am at the table with Steve, Dave, Ore, and Ben.
Really had his radio voice out there, didn't he?
He just went backwards to last episode.
1 point. Oh, I did that intentionally.
Yeah. Ricky.
Actually, you know, the funny thing was I was sitting, because my day job is as, you know, web consultant, web designer, I do that sort of thing. I was sitting with a guy in town and he is doing a project. Literally, it is... having a website to announce like obituaries and weddings and funerals. Yeah, all that sort of thing. I know I said obituaries and funerals. The same thing. Anyway, never mind. But I was sitting there at the table. We were chatting away and he was telling me, because he's virtually retired now, but he was telling me that his working life was as a radio broadcaster. And he was saying that the notices, he has negotiated to have them played on the local community radio. And I was like, hey, that's really cool. And he was talking about what he was going to need to do radio at home to record it, because he's never not used a studio where he actually goes to work, you know. And I said, oh, that's easy. Just you need one of these and one of those and one of those. And he's like, how do you know this? And I'm like... well, in my other life, I'm a podcaster. And he's like, okay, tell me about podcasting. And so I explained a bit about it to him and I played the intro to one of the episodes. And he listened and he stopped for a second. He said, who was that on the intro? And I said, that was me. He's like, you sound like a radio announcer. I'm like, awesome. This is like our fifth meeting and you haven't thought that up until you heard me on a podcast. Yeah. Like,
oh dear.
Awesome. So anyway, so we are back for a part two. So last episode we talked about, what are you laughing at, boys?
Nothing, mate. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, boss.
That's it.
So if you're gonna laugh, you have to share it with the whole class.
All right. Well, we were just building resilience over here, listening to your story.
Yeah.
They were going through a trying time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was actually why I bailed. Like, it was like, hey, this has been going on for a while. Yeah. I better jump on. So it was funny when I first started, and then by the end of it, I'm like, this isn't nearly as funny as I thought it was. So,
gotta hate when that happens.
Yeah, I know.
There. Gotta be there moment.
Yep. Anyway, so...
Part two.
So we sort of finished up last episode. Ore was sharing some of his experience and that was fantastically then finished off by Dave sharing something from Scripture. And I think the plan was for you to share something else to come back in.
That's right. I mean, Steve pointed it out. We did 1 Peter for episode 1, so we just got to do 2 Peter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wanted to share something. So last time I shared about how... these trials are, I suppose, leading to our salvation, right? As we learn to be resilient through trials, we're learning to trust in God through difficult situations, which is the essence of our salvation, you know, having faith. So in 2 Peter, he gives us, because we're going to be talking about habits of resilience, he gives us a bit of a process that he works through, right? So he says, and this is in his introduction, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Right, so here we're talking again about this process of salvation or sanctification, if you like. And then he goes on and he says, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I just think that's a really great way to think about this idea of resilience, right? Mm-hmm. So Peter says, if you want to be sanctified, here's how you go about it. You add to this, you add to that. And it's a very linear process, but it's also a very achievable process. Mm-hmm. And I think with any difficult situation, you need to make it achievable, right? And so one of the ways to do that is to take small steps. You know, Peter says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. And so it's just, it's an ever-increasing journey, but it's just step by step. You're not leaping from the bottom to the top of the staircase. Yeah. You're taking it one step at a time, right? Mm. And just a couple of book recommendations on this topic of resilience. You mentioned to me years ago, Luke, your friend Jonathan Wild, book called Tiny Habits, which he talks about this very thing, right?
Yeah.
About building small habits into your life to I guess, achieve bigger goals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I read a book last year, I think it was, called Atomic Habits, which is very much the same thing. And in this book, this guy who went through a serious challenge, I think he became paralyzed or something like that. He has learned to build himself from one step to the next in his life by just taking the smallest little habits. Mm. But if you add small habits together, eventually you achieve big goals.
Yeah.
I guess first habit of resilience that I want to talk about is actually achieving small goals. So building small habits into your life that will help you to achieve small goals. Because the more small habits and small goals, the bigger the goal you'll be able to achieve, the bigger the dream you'll be able to conquer.
Mm. I love that. I love that. That's something that I have learned only over the last few years, I guess. And one of the things that I do, I try to figure out what is the smallest. And Jonathan, who you mentioned before, who wrote the book, one of the things that he's a proponent of is that he only adds habits to his daily list if they can be done in 5 minutes or less. Now, the caveat is that he wants to do it longer, he can.
Mm.
But the requirement for any of his habits is 5 minutes. That can be for working out, that can be, you know, whatever it is. But no habit takes longer than 5 minutes.
Right. So the principle is
make it achievable. Yeah. Exactly. And I've applied that in my life, and it's amazing how much you get done when you say, hey, here are five important things that are important to me. I'm just going to work for 5 minutes on each of those every day. You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, that's not a lot of time, but it's remarkable how much you can push things forward with consistent effort. And I think consistency is a superpower with these things.
Mm. And it's not just about getting things done either, although that's an important aspect, but also growing.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, it's amazing how much you can get done, which absolutely, but it's also amazing how much you can grow as a person if you put into practice small habits over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the way you guys are saying that it's something that's very achievable, and it's not something that we have to, like, you know, be cracking our brains on how to achieve that. Yeah. And the good thing is God has actually given us some inbuilt systems of resilience that if we just be willing to absorb, we'll be developing those habits. One of those things is something as simple as prayer, like just having a regular prayer life.
Yes.
Like, you know, and just with the anticipation and understanding that our prayers are not necessarily going to be answered immediately, but through perseverance and diligence, you know, we're going to see the fruition of that. And that's something that should be inbuilt and a habit that we should incorporate. Another example, just, you know, from a spiritual perspective, is also ministry as well. Like, if we're engaging in some kind of regular ministry, no matter how small that is, whether it's giving someone Bible studies, or whether it's, you know, teaching a local class, or you know, opportunities to preach, like those things, like they, like through the engagement of those processes, like we develop resilience through that as well, because they're. Yeah. Yeah, the thing that can be challenging sometimes.
And that's not just spiritual resilience either. Just to throw that out there. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if anybody listens to this podcast who's not a believer, but, you know, you don't have to be wanting to grow in a spiritual context to build resilience through service. Mm. I think a lot of people are getting onto that particular habit themselves, even in a secular context, because they recognize that by building, you know, self-sacrifice into your life, it makes you a more productive, a more, I guess, happy as well, contented person. Mm. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, this is obviously really useful if you're interested in being a spiritual person. But even if you're not, it's a great habit to practice, just to look out for the needs of others and just to do what you can.
Yeah, and I think this fits into what we were talking about in the last episode about having purpose. And so if you honestly believe in scripture for a start, right, you automatically have purpose, because you know that God put you here for a reason. You know that, you know, you've got that capacity to minister to others. And if you've experienced something that is life-changingly difficult, that requires resilience, then that enables you, that qualifies you for ministry, that qualifies you to help somebody else that's going through the same thing, or has gone through is going through what you have gone through. So I think that the more we look at that, we start to realize that failure or challenges, however you want to frame it, is actually essential for resilience. You can't achieve resilience without having some degree of failure, and you can't have failure unless you're attempting something.
Right.
And so I think by extension, then therefore, be it ministry or anything else, we need to be attempting things, big things, things that are big enough for us to fail. Because if we never fail, then we never actually exercise that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like going to the gym but never picking anything up.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be habit number two.
Yep.
Attempt a lot of things, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Prepare, you know, to fail along the way by shooting high, you know, with your goals.
Yep.
But I think
that... Which is that, liberating, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that goes along with what we were saying, because it's good to shoot beyond what you know is your capability so that you can grow into that potential.
Yeah.
But one of the ways that you will grow into that potential as you fail is you will pick up those small habits that will propel you into that growth to achieve that goal. So it's interesting how these things work together. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because we've often talked about business leaders, how they'll often go through failed businesses before they'll actually succeed. And simply put, had they not had those previous failures, they would not have had the successful business in the end.
One thing I think that's really important to note with regard to the failure thing is that obviously there's a degree of risk associated with attempting something that could fail. And I think that's part of this pathway to building resilience is to take risks. And just to track back to something Ori said in episode one about germs, his biological resilience talk. I thought that was a really good illustration. And that, I guess, highlights the risk factor. I read a book a while ago called Gut, in which a scientist talks about her journey to understanding the microbiome and so forth in your stomach and how important that is to just our general health. And she talked in that book about, I guess we can call it an experiment, where some South American women were taken on a boat to Antarctica. I may be taking this a little bit out of, because I can't remember the story really well, so if I get it wrong, sorry. But the general gist was they took the women to Antarctica to have their babies because they knew it was going to be a sterile environment. They weren't going to be subjected to, you know, all of the parasitical type problems that you might get in South America, right, in the tropical jungles, right? But then they took them back to South America. So they went from a sterile environment where they removed all of the risk, and they went back into an environment where there was all of the risk, and the babies weren't prepared for it, and all of them died.
Wow.
Every single one of them, because they didn't have any of the good bacteria to help them to fight against the negative bacteria in the environment that they were in, right?
Yeah.
Which really speaks to what we're talking about the culture of our world today, and how that if we're not intentional about building resilience into our lives, that's exactly what's going to happen to us. We're going to be running away from the risk, you know, of failure. But what we're going to be ultimately subjecting ourselves to is ultimate failure.
I've just been thinking whilst I've been listening to you guys talk about, you know, shooting big. But I think, at least for me personally, the times where, like, I've seen the most growth is in doing things that I really don't want to do. Particularly at work. Like, you get a job and you're like, oh, there's grass over my head. I don't want to be doing this. This sucks. And, like, they're the moments where you're drawing on the resilience that you have to push through it. And for me, it's always just start. Like, pick an area and just start.
That's a good one.
And you get, and you just get cracking, and you just get on with it.
Yeah.
And you get to the end and go, that wasn't fun, but it was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And you get to the next one and go, oh, sucks. And you're like, nah, just start.
Yeah.
Just pick a spot and start.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something for me, like with assignments, you go, oh, this sucks. But you just go, this is somewhere I can start. Just start, and it flows from there.
The problem isn't going to go away.
No, take control of what you can, get cracking, and see what happens.
So, which really, that's a form of self-discipline, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think that the reason why a lot of people find difficulty doing those small things, it stems from like all or nothing mentality.
Yeah.
And I think often, like, we look at a problem, we look at a dirty garage and think, oh man, I've got to like do all of that. And then often that we kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
But actually, if we realize, you know, you don't have to do all of that. You just do one small thing at a time.
Yeah.
And those little bits of habits that we're just mentioning,
yeah.
like actually, you know, you'll find that you're making a lot of progress by the end of the week. Mm. So it's like avoid that all or nothing thinking, because I think a lot of people, and I think I'm just touching on a little bit of mental health and psychology here.
Yeah.
A lot of people fall into that mindset. It's like, I've got to do all of this momentum task all at once.
Mm.
And it's just like this reflex that for some reason we have. And it's actually, no, you don't have to do that at all. Yeah. Like, just focus on the little thing that you can do and build from there.
It's definitely a learned habit, but because I'm thinking I split things into much smaller pieces these days. But when I was younger, I tried to eat everything whole.
Yeah. Figuratively. Yeah. Maybe literally. You're telling the story.
Like a giant vacuum cleaner.
But it would cause so many problems, or I find it insurmountable and all the rest of it. So
yeah,
I definitely resonate with that.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, just as you were saying that, all right, like I wasn't planning to share this, but now you've said that, I'll go there. But as you know, regular listeners will know, you know, my wife Sarah like has had like health conditions that have been, you know, very challenging for us over the years. And so that has meant that I've done a lot of the, you know, the domestic work. And I have always seen myself as, you know, I'm pinch hitting, right? I'm in there on her behalf. And as soon as she's better, you know, then she's going to take over again. And so I've never really thought about it as like, hey, well, this is like my job. I've thought about it as I'm doing this. I'm just basically making sure everybody's fed and clothed until she's back and ready. And, you know, with, you know, where she's at, you know, it's overwhelming, you know, everything's overwhelming for her too. And it occurred to me a couple of weeks ago that I was thinking about it like I was a temp. I wasn't thinking about it like I was actually taking responsibility for it. Because I thought to myself, you know, what would my life look like if I was actually taking responsibility rather than just doing the bare minimum just to survive, sort of thing. And I thought, well, if it was my day job, if it was the work just like I would work, I would break it up into smaller chunks, and I would make, you know, task lists and break it up per day of the week. And like, oh, that's how I would do it. And I thought, well, why don't I do that? That would be much less stressful. And so, you know, I did that a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, slowly just been working my way, you know, every day there's a different thing on the list. It's, you know, get order to this room or get order to that room or whatever it might be. And, you know, I haven't actually done physically, I haven't done more work than I typically would, but it's just more well organized.
Yeah.
And because it's more well organized, everything's better, everything's easier, everything happens at a much more steady pace, and you know, it's more manageable, and I feel more resilient, I feel more in control, because I'm not just looking at the house as this monolith that I cannot handle, because I know it will take me days to get on top of everything, because you know, it's organized.
Yeah. And there's something else I wanted to say in regards to resilience is not looking for the easy out. Like the latest one I can think of is like the Stormco trip. We were screwing down the roof and I smacked my thumb pretty bad and it was like bleeding everywhere. I went down and got a Band-Aid on it and they said, no, that's all right. Like, you've done enough for today. You can go home.
Hmm.
Like, not home, but you know, like knock off and go chill. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I came here to build the church.
You know?
Like, sure, it hurts, but I can still work. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I couldn't really use my thumb, but I was functional. Like, we finished the roof.
You've got nine other fingers to work with.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's another one for me. Like, finding the easy out is something I'll like to do.
Yeah.
And I think we all do. You just pass the buck. You go, oh, this is hard. Hey, you're not doing anything here. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, just sticking with the hard stuff again. It's helped me personally.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, you stole what I was going to say is probably the next one that flows on from discipline, which is taking personal responsibility for things.
Yeah,
I think that's a really, really crucial one, because like you're saying, Steve, like we have like this mindset of passing the buck whenever possible in our lives, and I think, you know, we've all probably experienced either in ourselves or in people around us the fear of commitment as well in our society today. It's a real thing. And so I think that stems from us not being willing to take personal responsibility for stuff, you know, whatever the stuff happens to be.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really important habit for resilience, is just to take it, you know. Don't push it off to someone else. Just man up, take responsibility for whatever it is that's in your way.
You're also, by doing that, by taking that personal responsibility for whatever it may be, that also means that you have to make the decision that if I do fail, that is okay. because I can come back from that. I can bounce back. I can be resilient because the all or nothing thinking, like Ori was talking about before,
that if I fail, I am a failure.
Yes, exactly. And so if we think that way, nonsense, and therefore don't take the risks, we don't take the responsibilities on, then we have no opportunity to become more resilient.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a friend just this morning, actually, about ministry in church. And, you know, I've considered throwing in the towel on numerous occasions. But if I do that, then I'm depriving the people around me of whatever ministry I can do, however well I can serve them. And the very real result of that would be that would be detrimental to my spiritual health, because if I am abdicating my responsibilities, then I'm not growing anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas right now, you know, I have to trust in God a lot, because, you know, if I regularly get to the place where I need to do something or I have a responsibility that needs doing and I haven't had, like, it's not perfect, right? Life isn't perfect. And so when you have responsibilities, they're not perfect either. Mm-hmm. And so you sometimes have to just jump in and say, okay, I'm just going to deal with this, you know. So
I just want to just add and affirm what you've just said. Mm-hmm. I think often, like, there's often, you get a sense that there's a sacrifice that's often involved in the process of taking that responsibility.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I like to just encapsulate that by saying, like, we shouldn't lose what you have to what you have lost. Yes. So don't lose what you have to what you have lost. So in other words, if you're going through like something really terrible and you're going through so much loss in your life, like think about the things that you currently do have and have that perspective in mind as you're pursuing that. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really about a positive outlook with it, because like you were saying, it was not just taking personal responsibility, but how we're looking at tying it back into hope and that sort of thing. Because how we look at it completely changes the perspective on how we look at a task.
Yes. So something that I'll throw out there, it's not as related as it would have been earlier in the conversation, but I think it's important to, I think it's still important to say, and that is a question that I think we also need to ask ourselves as we're going through, we're building these habits, right? We're getting more, we're filling our resilience tank, if you want to look at it that way. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we have to also recognize that we can be our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. And that often, and I can't remember who said, I think it might have been you, Ben, maybe at the beginning of the first episode, we were saying that this is a mindset thing. That, yeah. You know, this isn't just emotional. It's not just intellectual. It's a mindset. It's the way you observe life around you and how you interpret that. And sometimes we can have ourselves in a non-resilient frame of mind by keeping ourselves on a destructive loop, whatever that may be. And so one of the really helpful questions that we can ask ourselves is, you know, is what I'm doing helpful to me? Am I actually doing what is good at this point? And, you know, Steve, like, you know, the example you were giving of, you know, when you're on the job and you're like, oh man, I just don't want to do this. You know, the grass is over my head. I can't see what I'm doing. This is frustrating. You know, ultimately, you were sent out there by your boss, and when you come back, that job's got to be done, right? Like, ultimately, it's going to have to happen. And so all of that internal narrative, you could ask yourself, you know, is this helpful to me? No, actually, it's just delaying me doing what I actually have to do. It's just making it harder because I haven't done it yet. And we can do the same with anything. Anytime we feel like we can't cope or we're overwhelmed, ask yourself, you know, what I'm doing or how I'm thinking about this, is what I'm thinking actually helpful to me? Is that getting me closer to the result that's necessary, or is it pushing me further away from that? And if we can answer that question, that is typically a good indicator of what should happen next.
Mm-hmm. Like, is that extra drop of alcohol going to help that situation?
Yeah, yeah. You know, does that actually help? Does that actually fix anything?
Website that you turn to,
yeah,
is that helpful?
Yeah.
All right. So the big one, vulnerability.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's a bit scary, being vulnerable with people about your struggles. But if you want to build resilience, you've got to do hard things. That's probably up there with one of the hardest things, is to be real, you know, to be genuine about what you're going through, not to hide it, not to, you know, as we were saying earlier, shove it under the rug and expect it to go away or pretend it doesn't exist.
Power through.
Yeah. But we have to be real, and that's part of being responsible for what's going on in our lives. So I think being vulnerable with the people that are around you, obviously it would be wise to choose the right people to be vulnerable with, because if you're already struggling with something, you probably don't want to be vulnerable with someone that's going to cut you down even further.
Yeah.
Mm. But sometimes you're going to have to take a risk because you might not see anybody that's safe to talk to. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you're not going to grow whatever you're just letting that consume you or, you know, hiding it away. Yeah.
And if you want to explore more of those concepts, we've talked on a number of different episodes about building friendship, you know, circles of friendship and how to identify the right people to interact with around that. And so if that's something that interests you, go have a look at our episode backlog because there's a number of episodes around those topics.
Sure. Yeah. Or go even better. Go and talk to a professional. No, there's some really great books out there by Brené Brown about vulnerability and, I guess what we're talking about here about resilience and building resilience and getting through the struggles. Mm-hmm. And she talks about vulnerability as being one of the keys. Mm-hmm. So,
It's quite important because sometimes you feel very, very alone in whatever you're going through. And if you're vulnerable with the right people, you'll begin to realize that there's people around you are going through a lot of things that you often don't see unless you talk to them.
Yep.
And you don't feel so alone. Their problems may be different, but it's just when life sucks and you can see that it's not perfect for other people, you feel that, yes, this is part of the human condition. Yes, this is normal. Yes, I'm not strange. And this person got through what they were going through. Yeah. So maybe, just maybe, I have the hope of getting through what I'm going through.
Yeah.
I also think it just helps you to expressing it. Helps you to own it.
You know, yeah, 120%.
Which I think is, you know, a good part of the solution is just first of all, just owning it, recognizing I do have a problem here. Mm-hmm. I do need to work through it. How am I going to do it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it might be, like I say, you might have a mate that might, you know, push you through, give you a hand, you know, offer some good advice or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or it might just be the sound of your own words coming out of your own mouth that just spurs you on to be like, hey, I need to fix this. You know, that's, it's not good.
And that's a skill that is, it's something that's learned. Like it's not, it's something that I haven't been able to do that only until recently over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a blessing of just meeting some really awesome people that have demonstrated that to me. And I can be like, hey, it's okay to be vulnerable, because just coming from the African culture, it's not something that was practiced at home, you know, as well, or encouraged. Like it's not
seen as a positive trait.
No, not at all. It's like, you know, you toughen up, eat a bowl of cement and move on with life. You know, it's that kind of like, you know, survival mentality kind of thing. And and it's not something that I saw demonstrated like from my parents, unfortunately. Even though they've done so many amazing things, it was that one aspect that I had to learn over my lifetime.
Interesting observation here. You know, just as you're talking about that, I was thinking about not just at the individual level. I was thinking not even at the intercultural level, but at the intergenerational level. I think this is perhaps one of the reasons why we have a lot of difficulty relating between generations now, because the people who saw, you know, the Second World War and you know, these broad these times are great challenge that affect every single person, right? Like not just, hey, that individual had a hard time or that individual had a hard time, but like an entire generation was put into a bad position because of all of these things that went on. They come out the other end of that and they had to learn to be resilient as a result of that. But then they look at the people that came after them and, you know, obviously I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth. I'm speaking in very general terms, but they say, oh, well, you didn't live through the kind of privation that I lived through, and therefore you can't understand, right? And so if you're struggling with, you know, losing a job or, you know, this or the other, that is not as valuable as the pain and suffering that I went through, because what I went through was quantitatively worse or whatever, however they view it. But I think
let's be real though.
The way a lot of people look at it, though.
I think that's the way we all look at it, unless we are intentionally breaking that habit.
Yes.
You know, I think we all define struggle by in terms of our own struggle.
Yes.
Yeah. And so if somebody else's struggle seems like it's less than ours, we're just going to tell them to toughen up and get over it.
Yeah.
Because it seems insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can be intentional about recognizing that every person struggles with different things differently, then we can hopefully get past that bias.
Mm-hmm.
And move on. But yeah, definitely it's a problem. But let's own it and recognize it is an intergenerational problem, sure, but it's also, it's my problem.
Yes, 100%. This comes back around to as a dad, because I recognize that I do that to my son, right? To him, if he loses a toy, that is
end of the world.
It's catastrophic to him. And I have been very dismissive of that because I think to myself, well, you know, if he makes a big deal over that, then, you know, what's going to happen when something really bad happens? You know, then how's he going to handle that? And so I've been quite dismissive of it. But what I've learned recently, and parenting is this long experiment, right? And so the experimental phase that I'm in right now is taking a step back from that and trying to be more empathetic to where he's at. And it's remarkable how much faster he copes with the situation when I'm not diminishing it. And I think that's a microcosm, right? We're talking about a four-year-old, but I think that's the same when we're talking with anyone whose experience is different from ours. Yep. If we show empathy to them and show love to them and try to put ourselves in their shoes, they heal faster.
Right.
That's a way that we can help them. We're not there might be a popular thinking, and sometimes it's baked into our characters. I don't know where it comes from, but whatever it is, we tend to think that if we validate somebody's feelings that they are badly done by or whatever, or that they're experiencing something traumatic, if we agree with that or empathize with them, somehow we are what's what I'm looking for? We are
indulging
not...
Indulging
their self-pity. Yeah, that sort of a feeling. And sure, there may be some circumstances where that's the case, but I think that that's actually, in 95% of circumstances, the opposite is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can empathize and still help them to develop a solution.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It's just that they'll receive that solution a lot better if you've first empathized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because exactly. If you don't do that, they just then feel like, you know, in addition to whatever injustice they have felt... Now they are also misunderstood.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, so you're compounding their problems and making it more difficult for them to get out of the pit.
Yeah. So. All right, so there's one final concept I want to talk about before we wrap this up. Yes. And that is, I was reading in a book recently about the concept of either... There's two ways to look at your preparation for life. You can either be safe mm-hmm. or you can be strong. Mm. And I think that's a really great way to frame this whole resilience argument. You know, if we're protecting from all risk... we're not going to be strong. We might be safe, but we're not going to be able to develop strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that then whenever you're unleashed into a situation where there is risk and where problems occur, because let's face it, that happens to all of us, we aren't strong enough to get through the problems. Mm. So rather than us fostering safety, we should be developing resilience to develop strength of character, mm-hmm. of mindset, as you guys have been talking about. Mm. And I think one of the things that helps us to achieve that is to embrace the struggle. So instead of running away from it, we need to recognize we have a struggle, whatever that struggle is. Might it be as a result of loss, or it might be some form of personal challenge that we're going through, right?
Mm.
We need to embrace it. We need to own it, recognize we have a problem. And then, as we've been talking about, we need to use some of these habits of resilience to work our way past it. But we can't really do that if we're just trying to preserve our safety. Mm-hmm. We need to be looking to build strength. And I think Steve mentioned in our pre-conversation, you were talking about changing the period of suffering by dealing with the problem now.
Mm.
Yeah. Did you want to comment on that?
Oh, well, yeah, the example I gave was with the uni assignments. You can go, I've got 3 weeks until this is due. The next 3 weeks are going to be really stressful. But you can always tackle a problem earlier. You knock it out in a week. Mm. And then your period of suffering, like Dave was saying, you've gone from 3 weeks to 1 week. And then you've got the other 2 weeks to either deal with other assessment or, right. you know, like, this is time management, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the way I approach it.
It shouldn't be complex, but no one gets it, at least at the beginning anyway. Yeah.
Mm. And like, that's a microcosm, you know, an assignment. Mm. Imagine if I had done the same thing with losing my dad.
Yeah, go know? Straight to getting help. Go,
yeah, or even if I had not have got help when I did, you know, it might have been, I don't know, 6-12 months down the track, I can't remember, when I started to make an improvement. But if I hadn't have done that then, imagine how hard it would have been for me 10 years on.
Yeah.
If I had not have developed any resilience, and if I was still letting that situation define me as a person, like that struggle would still be ongoing to a large degree today.
Mm.
But because through God's grace and some really good help, I was able to make some positive changes in the way that I processed the situation, in the way that I chose to think and to act. Like you said, you know, that changed the not only the period of suffering, but also for me, the outcome.
Yeah,
I just want to play devil's advocate here. I wanted to just glean from you guys, like, what does God mean when he says that he will not give us trials that we're not able to bear, in light of what some of the experiences I'm hearing from you guys? Some of you guys have dealt with experiences that for me seems like there would be trials I would class as like things I wouldn't be able to bear, especially at that age. Mm. So yet
God's assignments.
Trust me, surveying's easy, you'd be fine.
So how do we like compartmentalize that? Like how do we understand that verse in light of that? You know, like I struggle with that promise, to be honest, because it's like, oh, okay. So like, I just don't know what God meant by that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The way I've always experienced, I guess you could say, that text is that the whatever experience has come to me, I will be supplied with the strength to get through them at the time if I decide to lay hold of his strength, if that makes sense. Okay. So let me put it this way. The times that I've really struggled, like the most traumatic events of my life, if you had have asked me beforehand, am I the kind of person who could have dealt with that? Yeah. I would have said no.
Yeah, yeah.
But every time it happens, somehow God gives me what I need to get through that. That's been my experience so far, and I don't expect it to change, but that's the way I read it.
Can I just read the verse?
Yeah.
And maybe the verse before it as well? Mm. Because I think the answer is actually in the text, and maybe that will help us to process it a little bit clearer. So verse 12, just for some context, says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." That's the part you were quoting. Mm-hmm. "But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Mm. So I think it's not just a shallow or hollow promise that God says, you know, oh, you're not going to get anything you can't bear. You'll be right. Mm. He's like, you're not going to get anything you can't bear because with that temptation, I'm going to provide a specific way out.
A ladder.
Yeah, a ladder out. Good way of thinking about it. Yeah. But notice the context as well. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." So the context is you could fall, right? Mm. But then the promise is you don't need to, right? Mm. Because no temptation is coming that is too great for you because I'm going to provide a way of escape. Mm. And I think what you were just saying, Luke, is really important to understand. You might not think there's a way of escape to a situation that's coming for you, right? Mm-hmm. You might be in the situation, it might seem hopeless, but God will provide something in that situation, and you will have the opportunity to get past that particular temptation or struggle or challenge or whatever it is. Mm. And this comes back to something we said in the pre-chat, you said in the pre-chat, which was, I think our resilience rises to the strength of the challenge that we're going through.
Yeah.
And that to me is what this verse is saying.
Yes. Yeah. I think that is the perfect spot for us to land this one, because I think that is the most useful place to end it. So thank you so much for writing out this two-episode series. If you have enjoyed it, I encourage you to share it with a friend, because you never know who needs to know these things, who needs to be prepared for whatever's next in their life. So
we all do, mate.
We all do, that's right. But I encourage you to share it with them. And also, if you want to get in touch with us, we would love to hear from you. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook, or even on our website, austabletalk.com.au. We would love to hear from you.
Be sweet as to hear your resilient stories.
Yeah, yeah. If you have any stories that you'd like to share, we are actually really keen to share those stories like via our channels as well. So if you've got something that you want to share, please let us know. Reach out on social. We would love to hear from you. So we will catch you guys next week. God bless. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, austabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/OzTableTalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.